Okay, today is March 21st. We're doing the personality of Moshe. And this week's parsha is Parshas Vayakhel. And if you recall, when we were learning about Moshe's first emergence into the community, we saw what's called a Milat Mancha, which was the word Ish. It's a word that pushes its way into a short, usually a short narrative, just too often, where in each case, either a substitute word would have been fine, or just not having the word at all would have been fine. Vayar mitzrim ha-ke yivri, vayar ish mitzrim ha-ke ish yivri, v'nei shnei ha-mashim yivrim nitzim, just say shnei shnei yivrim nitzim, right? Nisam kol ish sar v'shofet, you could just say nisam kol shar v'shofet, right? So that's what created, if you recall back then, some months ago, that the Ish was a Milat Mancha. It's a munach of the story. It's the essential theme of the story. In what we did last class, with Moshe hitting the rock, was the word Kahal. It appeared six times in nine psukim, and it was too much. It was too much of it, right? So we said that the essential point of Kehillah is what do you do when things don't go according to plan, right? There's a famous saying that says that it takes a village to raise a child. I say the exact opposite. It takes an individual to create a community, right? I'm saying that the Kehillah exists to take care of things that are normal, of course. You have to have food, you have to have clothing, you have to have shelter, you have to take care of the basic necessities of the human condition. But what Kehillah really serves is what do you do when there's no order? What do you do when things are not going well? How do we band together when there's a tragedy in that family? So this is how we redistribute our efforts, right? In order to help the squeaky wheel, to help the one that's not doing so well, right? Not under normal circumstances. Everyone knows that under the normalcy, we don't have to worry about those things. But the human condition will, by definition, require us to have to deal with these problems because water will run out. What do you do when that happens? So, because Moshe and Aaron did not take this opportunity to teach Kehillah, right, and that's why the word keeps appearing there. You wouldn't have gotten it if the word was Am, some other word to replace the nation there. Right? We're trying to build Kehillah in Israel, and you lost this opportunity to tell them what to do. Right? So that's the. What does that have to do with Vayakhel Pekudei? So Vayakhel is when Moshe gathers the people together to teach them how to build the Mishkan. This is a bit of a chiddush, but what are the 39 things that go into building this Mishkan? Right? So the first 11 have to do with preparing food. Right? Plowing, sowing seeds, harvesting, you know what I'm saying? Putting them together and threshing and grinding and turning something into a food product, right? But the next 8 or maybe 9 has to do with weaving and preparing clothing, right? Sewing, weaving, tying knots. Right? The next 7 or 8 have to do with leather works. Tanning, and stripping, and scoring, and cutting. And those are to prepare leather works, shoes. Right? Finally, the last 5 or 6 or 7 have to do with building, bone, soser, right? Makabakatish. Okay? And those have to do with creating a structure, building. So while, of course, all 39 of them are connected to a Mishkan, but the essence of Kehillah is how to create these four basic necessities that the dignity of man requires everyone has a piece of. Not necessarily all are going to get the same 3,000 square feet of a domicile, but everyone in human condition has to have these four. That animals have it. They don't have to work at all for these things. Right? Everything is here on this planet, readily abundant for them, exactly as they need it. It's only because of man that some of them start to starve in certain habitats. Right? The lions are being just wiped out all over Africa because man has encroached upon their general food habitats. Reading about this, some areas where we affect the environment that has brought deleterious results, which may come back to haunt us at some point. Right? You know, there's a ecological chain, and you remove one link in that chain, and who knows what's going on. You know, past that chain. Right? The Earth happens to be very resilient about these things, right? But we have to be very careful, right? I don't give any credence, of course, to these kind of Hollywood things. But there was one of these Star Trek movies, the number 4, where they had to bring back a humpback whale from the past in order to save Earth, because we hunted down the humpback whales that chain, that whatever was lost because of that chain, ended up, you know, destroying Earth sometime later. So they had to go back into history, get one of those whales, and bring it ahead so that they could save man. It's an unusual kind of formulation, but that's really the musr. Be careful with what the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you, because, you know, it's in your hands. The foxes are always going to have whatever a fox needs to survive. Right? There's one species, interestingly, I'm not just getting us too much of a talk on a tangent about Moshe. This is more like the Odyssey. But there's one species that the Yerushalmi and Masechta Shabbos, amazing, try to think which species we're talking about here, is that we've ruined their nature. They cannot survive on their own.
Man.
The cat will, the mouse will, the rodent will, the insect will. There's nothing the insects will survive a nuclear destruction of the whole world. But there's one animal we've so ruined that there's enough to be in the halacha, because the Gemara says you're not allowed to feed on Shabbos an animal that doesn't belong to you, because you may trap it, you may hunt it, you may take it. But there's one animal you're allowed to feed even if it's not yours. What animal have we so ruined from its natural habitat for sure, but even its general nature? We have destroyed them. The dog. Already in Yerushalmi it says, the dog is a wolf. The dog, if you leave a dog out, it's dead. It's not going to survive. The cat will. The cat out there in that street will.
I'm around long enough to remember where the streets were riddled with cats and dogs. Somehow we've solved it. But you go to Israel, you see some neighborhoods, there are cats all over the place. You know what I'm talking about? Because they actually brought them in to solve mice problems. So now you have a cat problem. And they have to bring in dogs to solve the cat problem. They have to bring in goats to solve the dog problem. They have to bring horses over. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Right? So anyway, but that is the Yerushalmi Shabbos says that we've destroyed the dog. We've so domesticated him that he is simply incapable of surviving outside of that domestication. If we set him free, he'll die. So you're allowed to feed a dog that doesn't belong to you, because you owe it to all the dogs, because you ruined him. He can't get by without your help.
Is that all dogs? Maybe not. But in other words, we've changed that. Okay. So let's get back to our point. Is that kehila by yakhel? This is how you build the Beis HaMikdash. Don't do these things on Shabbos. I want you to know that what I gave you this project to work on after you achieved your freedom. The
project would serve many purposes. One, the post-Egel servant purpose. You know, get a kapara for the Egel. But more important, I think, in this realm, is that the purpose that Vayakhel would serve, the purpose of this building, this Mishkan, is to involve these recent slaves in a project. For the last 200 years, all of your best efforts, all of your best talents were dedicated to building, making food, making clothing, and making shoes for others. Now I want you to do it for yourself. Let your talents emerge. Right? How did someone like Bezalel even? You could say because God just gave him a gift into his heart. Right? God can do that to anybody. All of a sudden, tomorrow you're going to be the best violinist in the world. I don't think that's how it works. I think Bezalel and many others had that natural ability. It's just that it never came out because as a slave, you don't have any penchants for figuring out what your talents are. Right? But now that we're on our own, let's build something. Let's make something. We can do this. Where did they get the resources from? All that stuff they borrowed from the Egyptians. Right? And the Bizas Hayam. So let's work on this project and show that we build Kehila through these through these four. Food, clothing, shoes, shelter. And everything else comes out of that. There's entertainment, there's intellectual, there's other things, you know, there's cooking classes. Kehila has to have a lot of things today, you know, to keep people interested. But there's health. But these are the basics, building blocks of the dignity of a human being. And if there's someone in your shul who has a problem with shoes, you're not a kehila if you don't take care of that. Right? So everyone is seeing now how Vayakhel connects to the parsha of it's really Moshe's undoing because he lost he did such a great job of teaching kehila in Parsha's Vayakhel. Right? But he lost that opportunity to teach kehila in Parsha's Chukas. And the constant repetition of Kehila Mancha, Kahal, Kahal, all over there is what brings this message home. Okay? All right? So that is... So let's continue now in Shaddam. It says, Ve'achar zot hakdamah. He talks about what a Navi has to have a while.
Right, Mark.
What?
Whoa.
Oh.
Chief Rabbi Israel. Sorry.
Well, now with Chief Rabbi Israel.
What?
Move by open?
Oh my God. It's so cool.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was in high school.
Wait, I thought Israel was young.
No, he was. He was the Chief Rabbi of Israel. Now he's the Chief Rabbi of Israel. But when I was in high school, they took us all out to walk up by Yosef from 181st Street all the way down here. It was that 100 times over. I kid you not. The place was wall-to-wall students from 181st Street to 181st Street.
There's no classes going on, obviously. That's so cool.
It's the entire Spartan community.
It's the widest Spartan.
No, that's a small group.
Yeah,
it's compared to what I was going to be to a lot of people.
He's going to the base.
No, but he was at the Chagas Mikro. Okay, so what we require of a Navi is to be able to stand up to people, right? Stand people down, to make sometimes unpopular decisions, right? Okay, before I get into Moshe, I'll say what was Shaul's original undoing? Not that he didn't rid Israel of Amalek. That was his second problem. His first problem was when Shmuel crowned him king,
He said, we have a battle with the Philistines coming up. I'm the prophet, I know. They're preparing for battle with you. They're testing you. A week from now, I'm going to return, and we're going to offer a sacrifice together to gain God's favor, and then we'll fight the Philistines. Okay? Got it? Shaul had already demonstrated the serious gumption of a leader when he was tested even before this. Right? And I take this opportunity because, you know, we're running out of Torah for Moshe. We're already at the end of Bamidbar. But I'm taking this opportunity to describe the metamorphosis of Shaul. Shaul started off as this very humble man looking for donkeys, right? He's from which Shevet, the most downtrodden of all the Shvatim. Shevet Binyamin at this time was almost wiped out recently in the war at the end of Sefer Shoftim. You all know what I'm talking about? And that very unfortunate story called Pilegesh Begiva. I have to just go back and back. Is that Pilegesh Begiva is a story where a man is traveling with his Pilegesh, his concubine. They can't find a place to spend the night, and they decide to go to spend the night in Eretz Binyamin. Right? And one of the craziest stories, the whole story is only there to tell you what can happen when you don't have a king. Right? One of the craziest stories in Tanakh, it says all the men of Binyamin surrounded the house where this man and his Pilegesh were, and they pulled the Sodom on them. You know what I mean, right? Yeah. Exactly as the story, you know it, in gracious Perikutes, when the two angels went to Lot. It's exactly what they did to these two people. Only Lot, instead of saying, take one of my daughters, don't harm these men, which is crazy, right? Instead, this man says, take my Pilegesh, do whatever you want with her. But don't harm this man. So there's another very clear difference, however, is that in the story of Lot, there are real angels who can thwart the intentions of the men outside, right? You all know they smoke them with vines. But in this story, there ain't no angels. None at all. And they throw the woman out to the crowd. And the crowd violates her all night. She's screaming all night. The guy doesn't take any pity on her. And he's just screaming the whole night. Right? And in the morning, he opens the door. He finds her sprawled out on the step. Right? And what he does with her? Guys, you got to know your Bible here. He chops her up into 12 pieces. And he sends one to each shaven. Look what they do here in Binyan. This is the way Jews act. Really? You cut up a person into 12 pieces? Are you sure she's dead? Right? Yeah, I shot her. So the other tribes get so incensed that they go to war against Binyamin. Right? And in the first 2 days of the battle, Binyamin wipe out thousands and thousands of the other tribes, the great soldiers. On the third day, they get even, and they make two statements. One, they said, we're going to wipe out Binyamin. And two, we're never going to give our daughters to anyone from Binyamin. None of our daughters will marry Binyamin. They wiped out everyone but 400 men of Binyamin. And then they regretted their oath not to give our daughters to anyone from Binyamin. Because they said the whole tribe of Israel is about to be wiped out. So what did they do? They took 400 women from a place called Yavesh Gilad. Some say they were Jews, some say they were Gentiles. I don't know. I'll go by either way. But they took these 400 women from Yavesh Gilad because they said, we wouldn't give our daughters to Binyamin. We didn't say we wouldn't let them take our daughters. So they had these 400 women dancing out in the field. This is Tu B'Av, the Gemara says in Titus. This is why we dance on Tu B'Av, because of this story. And Binyamin took these 400 women. You better get an early pickings, otherwise it'll be slim pickings. So pick early. So the 400 men mashed up with the 400 women.
right? And that's how Binyamin survived. So Shaul is obviously descended from this group, because he's from Binyamin. You with me? So the first act of Shaul, when he is king, he's confronted with a demand from the nation Ammon. Now, what do you think? Which body part? Ammon said to the people of Yovesh Gilad, which is far from Ammon. It's way up north, and Shaul is way down south. Why go to Yovesh Gilad with this request? They said, we will make peace with you if you remove a certain body part. Remember which body part we're talking about? Your right eye. We want every male to have their right eye removed. And if we come and see that there are any men in the street who have both eyes, we will come and wipe you out. They were sitting ducks. They didn't know what to do. Save our skin or remove our eyes. They appealed to Shaul for help. Shaul sent messengers to all the tribes of Israel. We need to help the people of Yovesh Gilad. It was a test. He's descended from them. Ammon purposely went to see if the king be strong enough to save his own family. Right? He appealed to all the tribes to help out in this battle. Right? Now, you may know that in Sefer Shoftim, the Jews never fight as a nation. Never fight as a nation. Every single Shofet complains that we're not a united nation. If you live in Haifa and the pillars of Plishtim are threatening in Gaza, you know you're not taking part in that battle. We're not threatened up here, right? All over Sefer Shoftim, and it reaches its head when this woman is cut into 12 pieces, and one tribe is almost wiped out of Israel. They're fighting each other, right? So what does Shaul do to get everyone to fight to help the people of Yovesh Gilad? Remember this? He takes an ox, he cuts it up into 12 pieces, he sends it around to every tribe in Israel and says, this is what's going to happen to all your animals if you don't come in great numbers to help the people of Yovesh Gilad. 360,000 people showed up and wiped out the ox and saved Yovesh Gilad and their eyes. Do you see the kaparas? So you see it? Yovesh Gilad. Cutting into 12 to show the fractious nature of Israel. Cutting into 12 to unite Israel. Right? So Shaul does know how to act with shtarkat, you know, gumption. He knows how to lead. What is leading, after all, is to convince people to do things that aren't so popular. Right? So in the next battle, again, this time not against Ammon, but against the Plishtim, this time, Shmuel tells him, wait 1 week for me, I'm going to come back, we'll offer kabbalas together, and then we'll defeat the Plishtim together. A week passes, no sign of Shmuel. People are getting restless. They're not well armed. The Plishtim are far outnumbered them and have much greater, better arms. They're feeling restless. They want to start, they want to get moving out. They want to start fighting this battle. But Shaul says, no. Shmuel said to wait for him. And they get more restless, and Shmuel's nowhere to be found. The end of the story, I think you're going to agree that Shmuel purposely came late. He's late. He's like Moshe at Har Sinai, right? And we don't know what to do. So Shmuel says, okay, Hagisha, bring in the kabbalos. I'll offer the kabbalos. And then we'll fight the bush. Shaul starts offering the kabbalos, and then Shmuel shows up. Right? And he says, what's going on here? Wait, what are you doing? Goes, well, you told me to wait a week. I'm waiting more than a week. It's later in the day than when you told me. What? You're not here. Why are you late? Well, that's not your business. I told you to wait for me. And Shmuel tells him the bad news right there on the spot. Niskalta lo shamarta es devar Hashem Elokecha. God has taken your kingdom from you. You lost your kingdom. Really? David gets a pass with Bathsheba and I'm losing my kingdom over not waiting a half hour? Yeah. This is our connection to Moshe right now. Because I needed you to teach a powerful lesson about how we win wars. Eile v'rechev ve'eile basusim. David is going to teach them a great this message all over the place. That's a pasuk written by David. With Goliath. They win battles with armor. They win battles with horses and chariots. Anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir. It's crucial that your people see that this battle is won because there's a prophet in your midst, not because there's a king in your midst. This may be Shmuel's sweet revenge that it chose a king over me to be their leader. Let me make sure they don't ever forget that your success comes because you have a prophet in your midst, not because you have a king in your midst. Right? You lost your kingdom over this. It's a small little infraction, to be sure. But also, Shaul fails to admit. He keeps on trying to convince Shmuel that, oh, come on, that's why I didn't wait, but I offered a korban. I mean, everyone can see that the korban is why we're succeeding. Yeah, big deal. The Goyim all bring their korbanas too when they fight battle. Bilam did. Balak did. It's no sign of piety. The piety is that you wait for the prophet to start the battle. Got it? Okay. So when Shaul fails to bring this message across, right, that lack of leadership is his undoing. Okay? That's what we expect of a leader. To sometimes do things that are not so popular, and to convince people that this is what we need to do. You may be proven wrong. Okay, Vazachar Zos HaKtamar. Nomar, everyone following with me? Nomar, Ki Kasher Nikalu Yisrael Al Moshe Aaron, Sim Nikalu. Uvikshu Amayim, when they gathered before Moshe Aaron to ask for water, Afa Pi Shelo Bikshu Osa B'Derech Nechona, they did not ask for it in the proper way. Afa B'Rivu Matzah, they asked for it with contention, strife. The proper reaction by Moshe, and again, I say cut him some slack, his sister just died. But you know what, Moshe? You're Moshe, they're not. Right? Right? I expect something different from you. Right? I needed you to convince them. Yes, this is a setback. But God is not going to let you die of thirst after all this. Halo kil kelis chem b'mon mem shana. He has given you mon for 40 years. In the past, I also once hit the rock to get you water. Don't rebel against God now. Still, Musar was rebuke was called for on the part of Moshe to speak to them. Right? Lo shir pu yideyam bivahalu lahashiv. One of the obligations of a Navi is to know how to stand up to bad behavior. Don't kiss up to them. There's one time where Yirmiyahu kisses up to Bnei Yisrael. I mentioned that in the very last class when he said there will be a 70-year Golus. And another guy said, it won't be 70, it'll just be 2 years. Remember what Yirmiyahu's response to him? He says, Amen, Amen, I wish it could be all right. Halavai, you should be the true Navi and I should be the false Navi, I wish. He said, Yirmiyahu, don't go overboard on that. Let everybody know that he's wrong, he's a liar, because you know it's not going to happen. What, do you want to insulate yourself? That no one should think that you were invested in the failure of Israel? Right? You're the prophet. You know what's going to happen. Well, that sometimes happens in politics. I have no doubt half or maybe even more than half of America right now is heavily invested that everything this president does should fail. But maybe it's magia, because a lot of America was invested that the previous president should fail. Right? And then a lot of America was invested that the previous president before that should fail in Iraq or whatever else was his undoing. Right? It's a bad situation. Right? Mm-hmm. But if you're the prophet, you see, Yirmiyahu was in a real bind because people in Israel thought that he colluded with the Babylonians. He's been saying all along, we should submit to the Babylonians, surrender to the Babylonians. Right? When the land fell to Babylon, to Bavel, and Bavel was kindly disposed to Yirmiyahu, this did not prevent people from killing the Yirmiyahu's chosen leader, Gedaliah. Right? This is not such a simple thing, but you have to know how to stand up and have midas agvura. Lo yechas v'lo yeshuv mipnei kol. Not to relent, not to fear from anything.
Is it possible that Moshe thought that now wasn't the time to give a musar shmooz? People were thirsty, they wanted water. Let's give them what they want.
The excuse I always would give is that he is not Moshe. His sister just died. And my real problem is, so why doesn't God cut him that slack? Right? The answer is, no, Moshe. You know this a long time. You've been in this job for a long time.
Right, but I'm saying maybe the Musar would have just gone on deaf ears. Like the people are thirsty; they want their leader to give them water.
Yeah.
They're not looking for them to be rebuked about why they don't believe in God. Hmm.
Well, or just, you know, even forget about the belief in God, but just say, after all you've been through, God didn't take you this far to let you die of thirst at the end.
Right.
Just say it like that, and then we're all going to be fine.
But then give them water.
And then pray, and then gather together and read some Mishnayos and Maseches Tainis and then make a prayer vigil for rain. Right? Let's continue. Ushnei anavim ha'elu, these two prophets, Moshe and Aharon, asher nishlamu b'midos u'besichlios v'ra'us ha'amem shana. They were fully developed and established in their characteristics and their intellect to lead the people for these 40 years b'midbar. V'hem Moshe v'Aharon lo timtza she'eshivu lahem shum davar b'hika alam aleihem al dvar hamayim. We don't see them talking to the people. They don't address the people. What do? They run right into the Olmoid. Avol rafu yidehem, their hands became weak. U'min ha'maracha nasuva alchu elo ha'moed mipnei ha'kahal. Maracha here means from the boxing ring, they just ran right out. Someone's threatening you here. They're challenging you. Don't run away from it. Kemro v'yavo Moshe v'aharon mipnei ha'kahal el pesach ha'moed. V'amari ben Ezra kedmus borchim. Ibn Ezra writes, they looked like borchim, escapees. Ad kan l'shon balavas nefesh v'od erich. V'amnam afal pi she'eskimu l'peirush ze arba chachamim mizmanim shonim u'me'artzos v'chokos. And I found four commentaries from very different times and different places who all agree with this. B'li she'yeda echod mehem l'chsheves chavera, without anyone knowing what the other three were thinking. ואף על פי שגם אני בפירוש הזה בחרתי במשך תתבוב שונים ושיבחתי לתלמידי. Even though I, 15 years ago, when I started writing this commentary, I also thought that this was correct, that this is what they did wrong. מקום מקום הנני רואה עתו כי אין משמעות הכתובים מסכמת עם הפירוש הזה. Wow. Now I see that this is not the correct resolution of what went wrong here. Where does God tell them? You didn't sanctify my name. You were afraid of the people. Whatever we say they did wrong has to fit the way God talks to them. Is it a chilul Hashem for a leader to be afraid of the people? How is that a chilul Hashem? It's a chilul of your leadership, but it's not a chilul Hashem. Right? The main thing is missing from the book. Especially where it says, you rebelled against my word. How is it rebelling against God's word that they fled into the Ohel Moed? The simple pshat, God commanded them to do something, they didn't do it. By the way, I added something, if you recall, in the last class to this, that I think is mashma, which is that by running into the Ohel Moed and running right out and saying, Shimu no Hamorim, can we get you water from... It looked like God was out of control. And that is a rebellion against God. That's a chil Hashem. Do you agree? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It looked to the onlooker that this was like Ko Amar Hashem, Shimu no Hamorim. Yeah? Like, this is what God told us to say. That's what it looks like, no? Their mistake is that they didn't follow directions. They didn't follow what God told them to do. Not that they didn't have the gumption and the might to stand up. Gam milos v'yavo Moshe v'Aaron mipnei hakahol ein shum hechrech shakavano lomar shalchu kidmus borchem. Ibn Ezra. Even when it says v'yavo, it doesn't say v'yivrach. Could mean that, I don't know if they were afraid for their lives, they went in to ask God, what should we do about these people? Enough dafka that they were escaping them. V'yanusu ein k'siv kan, doesn't say v'yanusu mipnei ha-kahol, it says v'yavo. U'milat mipneihem ein inyono al elo shehitrachaku mihiyot lifneihem. Doesn't mean that they escaped their wrath, they escaped their desire to kill them, they escaped their murderous intent. No, it just says they went into the Ohel Moed mipneihem, because of them. That's the simplest explanation. Al derech vayisamud ha'anan mipneihem. Did the cloud of glory move around because of something Bnei Yisrael were doing? Of course not. It's a good explanation. Mipneihem is the similar meaning. Mipneihem can mean because of what they did, but it can also mean from them. V'harav ha'chacham ba'al sefer be'er sheva b'sifro ala Torah nikra tzeidah laderech hevi divrei ba'al mincha belula. Belila has kir shmo ala kalkala. V'chasav aleihem. V'ani omer shekol ha'meforshim lo ratzu lefarish kein. Ki hu perish mishubash. The Tzeidah Laderech cites this opinion that what they did wrong was to escape into the Ohel Moed. And I say that's a mistake. She'enu kedai ledaver hemenu klal. Sh'ari mikra molei kasuv. Ala shem marisim is pi. Basically saying this Tzeidah Laderech perish is saying like he does. The problem is not that they escaped to go into the Ohel Moed. The problem is that they did not listen to an instruction. Sha'avru al devaro. They did not listen to an instruction. Flipe Rusho, lo avru al devaro. According to the opinion of Ibn Ezra and those others that say that the problem is that they went into the Ohel Moed, they didn't. What are they violating? God didn't say, don't go into the Ohel Moed. Ela shlo chicho es Yisrael. The sin was that they didn't rebuke Bnei Yisrael. How was that a sin? Where did God say rebuke Bnei Yisrael in this story? Right, Od Herich. Gam bal harechasim labika dachab perish Ramban hinei roeh taki mashmut aksuvim eino ella keperish Rashi v'cholakad monim. The perish, the correct perish, is like Rashi. He was told to hit the rock, to speak to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. They should have said to the rock, Ko amar Hashem hasela tnami memecha b'yishteh ha'amazeh. They should have said, Thus says the Lord to the rock, Give forth water that the people may drink. Talk to the rock as if though it's a person. Hello, Ko asa achar kach Yehoshua shamar shemesh begivon dom v'yireach be'emek ayalon. He talked to the sun and the moon. Right? Hein emes ki eina neis gadol b'dibur me'aka ki akol shove itzel asela. You see, Rashi, he's going against a little against Rashi. Rashi says, and he does this a few times in his perush, that if Moshe had just talked to the rock, the people would have learned a kal v'chomer. Right? What's the kal v'chomer? Is that a rock does not need God for anything. A rock doesn't need water. It doesn't need parnasa. It doesn't need sunlight. It doesn't need anything to be a rock. It's just a rock. And yet the rock listened when spoken to. It didn't have to get a patch. It didn't have to get hit. How much more you guys, Bnei Yisrael? You need God for everything. You need God for your rain. You need God for your clothing. You need God for your animals to be successful. You need God for the crops to come out. You need God for everything. How much more so should you listen and obey without getting hit rather than, in other words, that you should listen when you're just spoken to? Right?
Moshe
did speak to the rock. Right? Well, they said, can we get water from this stone? So the Medrash says he started and nothing happened. That's the point, Moshe. This whole thing is out of the ordinary. This is, you create Kehila. What do you do when things aren't going your way? Don't lose control and start hitting. That's out of control. Okay? But here Shaddal is saying that it's not a question of what's a greater miracle. I don't know. What would impress you more? Rock, can you please get water for the people? Or giving it a zetz and having the water sprout? I think the second one looks like a bigger miracle. Right? Maybe someone could think that, well, he hit a button and the thing opened up. Right? I don't know. They're both pretty impressive. Right? It's not a question of the bigger miracle. It's a question of control. Avol mikol makom leinei ha'hamon hadibur el ha'sela haya matmiya yoter v'yoshem shamayim bizkadesh yoser. Right, for the people watching, just talking to the rock is bigger because hitting the rock, maybe you actually touched off something on it. Right? Maybe you pushed something, you just pushed a piece of fake rock in and the water was able to come out. I don't know. Masha Mahar Amban, ki me'achar she'tzivo kachas ha'matei yesh b'mashma she'yakebo, einenu nochon. Ramban says that once Hashem says, pick up the stick, Moshe thought, okay, that means hit it. It's an interesting thing. Moshe knew that he's supposed to talk to the rock. What made him hit it? Because the stick is in his hand. He's been there before. If the stick wasn't in his hand, he never would have spoken to the rock. And he never would have hit the rock. Of course not. He wouldn't have had what to hit it with. That's precisely the point. That's the way I explained it in the very outset. Is that Hashem wanted with stick in hand, talk to the rock. See the stick? What did I do with this 40 years ago? Yeah, our fathers told us you hit it. No, I'm not going to do that now. We don't hit anymore. It's a different situation now. But sometimes when it's just in your hand, you just don't know what to do. If in retrospect you say, what was I thinking? Of course I know I should have. I get this magazine. It's called The Week. You ever hear of it? It's a review of all the news stories from the previous week from like 400 magazines. It's a thin little thing, but it's a mamish complaint. You don't have to read anything. Just read that week, and you're caught up to everything that happened in the world the previous week. And at the end, they have a large section of the way the mind works and how you know, the thought section. They interviewed. I wasn't watching this, certainly not in real time, but I read about it that. Two actors were given the wrong name at the Oscars, right? So Warren Beatty said afterwards, when I saw the name, I knew it was a mistake. I knew it was. Because I was reading Best Picture, right? And it had the name of the actress on it. Right? So he was starting to, you know, hem and haw. But I just said, okay, but I'm up here to read. I got the stick in my hand. I got a hit. And he read it. I think the other person up there read it first. Right? So that's, you know, we're creatures of habit. So Moshe was in the habit of hitting rocks. But Hashem says, no, I want you to stand up there with the stick in your hand and talk. B'shast hadibur hayolahem lintos yodam b'matel asela b'richuk makom uvalilin goabo. That's what he's supposed to do. Talk to it, showing them the stick. V'inei chatas Moshe v'Aaron hoysomeri. This sin is rebellion. Ki lo asuka shotzivam Hashem. V'nikreis gam me'ila. It's called a trespass. Shen yino chisron nemonus, because there's a chisaron in belief. Ki lo nemnu imo. If Moshe and Aaron are violating the command, what does that mean for them? Right? The kan nikra chisron emunah lo hemantem bi lo shehem lo hem minu belokim v'shechashvu shiuchal lo hotzi mayim min hasela ba'akav lo yuchal lo hotzi yom b'dibur. It's not that they thought that the only way to get water out of this thing is to hit it, not to speak to it. Whoever can get water out of a rock by hitting it can certainly get water out of a rock by speaking to it. Right? Ain't zedavar she'ein hadas soval tov. No thinking person can suffer such a thought. V'lo cheshechashvu she'afilu ba'akol lo yatzu. They didn't think that if I hit it, it's not going to come out. The kamosh yuchala misakesh lavin mimamram haminasela hazen notzi lochem mayim. You think we can get water from this? As if to say, of course we can't. No. Halo ain't so fake, keep on rum, I mean, a cellar has a low, I saw a covenant, El Lomar. Hayitochain, Bederach, a teba, Shemina, cellar has a yitumayim. Lo! They were saying, do you think naturally we can get water from this rock if God doesn't make it happen? Vatois yatzvu ruiz, Asher yase Hashem, like they said before by Kriyas Yamsuf. He will get you water from this rock, this dry rock. It wasn't a chesron emuna on their part. You weren't mekadesh my name in front of them. I'm not accusing you, Aaron, of being a disbeliever. Right? Okay. Alright, so Yan Lohe Mantin B Lahakti Shani. Lohe Mantin B Velo Hakti Shani. You didn't believe in me and you by doing what? By not being Makadesh my name. Of course Moshe and Aaron believe in God. We have to talk about that with metonymia. Right? Where you say Yan Lohe Mantin B. Yan lo hikdashtem bi. Yeah. So in other words, it's that the chesron emuna is that you failed to mekadesh me the way that it should have been, and that therefore the riftiger punishment is available.
All right, we're gonna this closes.